Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hi, guys. My name is Toby Mathis, and you're joining the Anderson Business Advisors podcast. Today, I have with me Mike, and I'm going to butcher your last name, Finicciaro.
Finicciaro. You got it pretty close.
Yeah, see? Mike's actually, you're from Philly, too, right?
Philadelphia, yes, sir.
Yep. And so some of you guys know that that's where I hail from. Been in Vegas for a lot of years, but where I started was back in the good old, awesome, but it was back in the 70s, but it was Philadelphia back in the 70s.
Yeah, good times.
Anyway, so Mike, welcome, first off.
Thanks, buddy. Good morning.
Yeah, hey, it's an awesome day, and we're just really lucky to have you. So I wanted to bring Mike on board just to give you guys some brain food for folks that actually go out and start their own businesses and how, you know, when they start hitting that critical mass and about to take off. And so Mike's a great example of somebody who is really starting to see some amazing things with his company that he put himself in a position so he could actually do it. So I just kind of want to go on that. So Mike, first off, tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from. I already know Philly, but tell us about your kind of journey into entrepreneurship.
Grew up in Philadelphia, like we were just saying there. Worked at a lot of pizza shops when I was a kid, after school, into the wee hours of the morning. Saved my money and bought my first DJ kit and started Come Together Entertainment at age 18. And just pitched that way bigger than it actually was. Just really got out there and tried to really make it seem like we were this big company that was doing Hollywood parties when I was an 18-year-old kid working out of a row home, and saved my cash and rolling with that business for a while until I got into the live entertainment industry with George Clinton and P-Funk. And really had an impact on me doing that live show and seeing how everybody reacted.
George Clinton. You did P-Funk?
I did. That was my first live show, was P-Funk, Toby. And like, I remember looking out into the crowd and just seeing all people, all shapes, sizes, colors, everyone was just getting along. And it really...
Was Bootsy Collins still playing with them?
Bootsy wasn't, but I actually have a picture of myself and Bootsy hanging in my place here. I met Bootsy on a tour I did back in the day, and that was definitely a moment because I was a bass player at the time as well. So that was
holy cow. I saw Bootsy at the Rock Candy in Seattle when it still existed. It
was amazing.
Fun. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. All right. So you did. I didn't even know this. I love finding stuff out. So if you can't tell, Mike does production. He's a big production guy out here in Vegas, all over the country. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. All over the continent, all over the planet, I should say, all over the place. We're everywhere.
Yeah. So what does a production company do? Just to give everybody an idea.
All right. So a little bit of background. I mean, our heartbeat was always music, concerts, things like that, festivals. We used to work Coachella a lot of the EDM that started coming up in like 2008, 2009, that kind of stuff. And we took all that experience of getting these large shows set up efficiently and fast, and we actually tied it into the corporate world. First job in the corporate aspect was Ford hired us to start doing their auto shows in Detroit, Chicago, Washington, D.C. We did a lot of those big, massive industrials, and that led more into the tech market over the years. A lot of the product launches for Apple, Google, we just built a big booth for them over at CES that was really talked about all over the industry. I mean, we built basically a theme park ride for a corporate show for people to go through. And it was super.
Consumer Electronics Show is the largest electronic show on the planet, right?
Like, yeah, it is. It brings people from all over the world coming to find out what the new latest, greatest products are going to be. So we tapped into that market as well. We basically do corporate product launches, meetings, general sessions, after parties. I mean, we do all that in conjunction with our, we call it rock and roll, but it's basically the term for all music, music work that we do. We tie this all together and we just created this production company here. And Vegas seems to be a good spot for us.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So you started when you were 18. So I just want to go through the progression. So you started your 18 out of your own, out of a row house in Philly. Did you just do this in your individual name and just do it as a, like, just like everybody kind of when they start, they just kind of do stuff? And
I have this is a great story for you and good advice for people out there that are starting companies. Okay. So back then, back in the day, it was Come Together Entertainment, but then I did rock and roll for about 10 years. I was on the road touring with these bands. And I started, when I realized I didn't want to stay on the road forever, I started my first production company, which was Mike Finn Productions. And we did well. We got gigs. Like I said, we got gigs with Ford. We lit up the Pope when he came to America. That was a big one for us. We did some shows. It was amazing. Yeah. Yeah. That was the one my mom was proud of. We did the Pope there. We did a millennium show. Millennial show for Bill Clinton. We did some shows with Paul McCartney. So did pretty well with Mike Finn Productions. But as I got older, I talked to some people on the legal aspects, and they said, get your name out of there. Okay. They said, go create an entity. Otherwise people are going to expect to see you on every show. Your name's in there. It's a liability, like just get it out. So Mike Finn Productions did well, but we rebranded as Big Finn Productions in 2015. And let me tell you, once we created that entity, things blew up farther than I could ever possibly imagine. I mean, the past 4 years, we have just grown exponentially. So that's a good tip for people out there that are starting a business. Create an entity so it could be larger than yourself in every aspect, and not just in the name aspect, but as a concept. You want to have an entity that is behind you and supporting you.
So how long did you do Mike Finocchiaro Productions?
Well, we did Mike Finn Productions. No, see, Mike just Finn. See how you're staggering.
You always go by Finn. I always know you as.
Everybody did that. That's why we started the Mike Finn thing. When I was a kid, they'd be like, nobody can remember me. Who's that kid? That Mike Fettuccini kid. Hire him. He's good. They always mess it up. So Mike Finn. And that really caught on. And then we went to Big Finn. And we did Mike Finn Productions for about, I want to say, 12 years. And then we've been in Big Finn Productions for 4 years. And like I said, the growth has been exponential since we became the entity. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, you take it away from yourself and you let people actually buy the brand. Let's go back in time and say, what are some of the biggest mistakes you made that you wish you, like knowing what you know now, you would have gone back and changed it?
All right. The name thing, that's a good one right there. Yeah, but I think first and foremost is don't wait to get things started. I mean, that's the one thing that if I could go back in time, I would have started sooner. I mean, a lot of people have.
You started at 18. How much earlier could you have started? Like in the womb, rocking out with your mom?
I don't know. I always think, though, I'd be farther along now if I would have started earlier. So I think, you know, I mean, maybe I'm the exception there, like at the young age, but I think some people are in their 30s, 40s, 50s, they're nervous. I mean, there's no time like the present. Like, just get it going. Don't wait. If you have an idea and something you believe in, you think that the market needs, like, go after it.
Mike, you
can start a company and grow it.
It's funny, and I don't mean to steal your story, but when I became an attorney, I hung my shingle out the day that I got my license because I was convinced that I had talked to so many attorneys and they said the same thing you're saying. They said, I wish I'd ventured out earlier. And I said, oh, then I'll just start as soon as I can. And I got the crap kicked out of me for a few years because you're brand new. And then the people, like the experienced guys would just dump so much paperwork on you anytime they saw your name pop up. They were like, oh, sole practitioner, brand new. Let's make him earn his way. And then there
was, you're learning. You're learning as you're doing that.
Absolutely.
Look at you now, right?
Hey, I would say the same thing to anybody else. Yeah, you're gonna take your lumps, but you're gonna learn from everything, and it's yours. It ends up being yours. It's your knowledge. It's your experience, and you benefit from it instead of some other company. Yeah,
that is something I tell people a lot: is that you can make anything happen if you're willing to take the lumps that come with it. I mean, that's the only limitations. Is if you can take what it is to keep moving forward, you're gonna get to where you want to be.
What's one of your biggest mistakes that you've ever made? I mean, it sounds like you've worked with some big acts. And I got to assume that there's been one of those shows where you're like, nothing's going right.
I don't know, man. We always make it happen. I mean, I'm thinking hard. They're all hard. I mean, you know, there's none of them that are just, you know what? All right, I got one. I got one for you. I was put in a situation that I did not want to be put in using somebody's gear on a DC show once. And I advised everyone, don't use this company. This is bad gear. I know this gear. Don't use it. And I was forced to use it. Well, there was an electrical fire, okay, with this piece of gear, right? So we're at the auto show. The sprinklers are going off. I mean, nothing good about this. So we literally put our fires out, okay? Get control of the situation. Take everything back to where it should be. And here's the mistake that I made. In writing, I went ahead and just blasted this company. And then it was something tangible that I wrote in the heat of the moment and I sent out there. So my advice is think about things a little bit. If you're going to be reactionary to something, maybe write yourself an email, send it to yourself, calm down a little, read it later, and see if you really mean it. Because once you put it out there, it's out there.
Did it come back and bite you in the future?
It could. So that would be a mistake that I made. And I got over it. I mean, it took me a little bit, but it definitely, there was a little, wow, that guy really blew up, you know, on paper. It was young angst. I don't know. I was on fire back then. So the older you get, you mellow a little bit and you learn from your mistakes.
Well, you had a fire and you told him not to use it. I think you're probably justified.
I was.
But the fact of the matter is, it's good advice. When you put in, as we're learning every day, we see people's emails and letters and things that they've written come back into their life 10 years later.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so if you put it out there, even on video, you know, it's out in the public view and it's to be consumed for all eternity. It's out.
And that represents yourself and your company. So always remember that as you're growing, that just be careful what you're putting out there. It will be associated with your brand.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let host Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
Hey, how about biggest successes?
Biggest successes. I mean, wow, I don't know. There's been so many times where I stood on stage and looked out and saw 500,000 people out there just enjoying themselves. I mean, that always hits me close to the heart. We started a charity called Santa's Roadies back in, I mean, I think we're on our maybe, I want to say we're on maybe our 13th year now, but watching that grow over the years and how it's benefited so many people and the enjoyment that it brings everyone that's in our organization, that's been a huge success. Seeing lives change, not just through the charity, but through our companies, watching kids that really didn't have much of a direction, because that's a lot of the outcasts, I want to say, or people that didn't really fit into a group in school tend to go to the production industry for whatever reason. They come here. They don't really have a place with the different breakfast club groups, we'll call them, you know, and they come to us and we get them in this organization and we give them a direction and a way to grow and support their family and have a good quality of life. And I mean, to me, that's success. Looking at all the kids that I knew when they're 17 and now they're, you know, in their 30s and they have a family and a house, and that all came from some of the guidance that I gave them. I mean, that's a huge success to me.
That's pretty cool. So there's a few good nuggets there, by the way. When I got into business, it was because of a gentleman by the name of Gene Thompson up in Seattle, Washington. And he had a bunch of franchises. He used to do Minute Lubes and Subways, and sure, now they're Quaker Lube. But he was a friend of my father, and he had said something. He goes, the best thing about having a business is when you have an employee or somebody that you like, or a client or a customer, whatever, if you want to, you know, say, here, dinner on me, and send them to the nicest restaurant in town or something that they wouldn't ordinarily treat themselves to, you can do it.
Sure.
That's probably the most rewarding thing, is that I can do things. I have the freedom to do whatever I feel like. And it actually has a pretty big impact on
it. It does. It changes their lives. You know, the littlest things you could do could change their lives immensely.
Speaking of that, and you know, here's the thing. You mentioned Santa's Roadies, which I want to dive into a little bit. Most people that have a degree of success will end up transitioning somehow that into helping other people out, unless they are just completely, you know, about themselves and all about the dollar, which in my experience, most people who are successful are not. They're usually about adding value to society.
Correct.
But let's say that, you know, so with you, the Santa Roadies, explain what that is for folks and why it came about and what you do.
All right. So a little bit of background there, like going back even before I was working in the pizza shops, single mother raised me and my sister. We were, you know, a really tight knit group there, and we didn't have a lot of money. I mean, straight up, I remember people knocking on the door and delivering some food to us for Thanksgiving, that kind of stuff. I mean, it really stuck in my head. And as Mike Finn Productions first started to have some success, I knew I wanted to give back. And at that time, I had a 2-year-old daughter, and I wanted to teach her a little bit about Christmas and that it's not just about gifts for us. It's about giving, the real meaning there. So way back in the day there, I went out and I loaded up my trunk with toys, bought myself a Santa Claus suit, and I had my little daughter with me. And we literally at that point just drove around. We went to the children's hospital. We went to Salvation Army shelter. We just drove around and gave out toys. And that was kind of the beginning of this process. And my daughter was kind of young, but she still saw what was going on. And over the years, we continued that each year. And I watched it kind of click in her brain that it's about giving. I'd have her dressed like a little elfish. She got a little older. She's handing out candy canes and getting responses from some of these needy children. They were so happy just to have a candy cane. Okay. And that, like, I'm getting chills as I'm having this conversation right now. Like, I remember seeing it click in her eyes. And we just grew that over the years. I mean, 2 years ago, we had 43 families that we took care of. I mean, we got them, we found out what the kids wanted for Christmas. We wrapped the presents. We put names on it. We did everything to really make it a special moment. And it really resonates with me when you see some of these little kids that truly believe that you are Santa Claus. And because they're opening their gift and they're seeing exactly what they wanted. I mean, it really it's a touching moment year after year. So as
you don't show up in just a sleigh, though, you have like your pimped out.
So over the years, I've collected some Cadillacs. I mean, that's part of the Big Fin name. And to me, as a little kid, that was always a sign of success, was Finn Cadillacs. Like, that was success to me. That's what I saw the guys drive in the neighborhood. Always had a Cadillac. I mean, and the ones with the fins were always the coolest. So that was always a personal thing for me that I always wanted. So now I have five. I mean, I have to say it's just a passion of mine. I've grown it over the years, but now we take these Cadillacs and we load them up with presents. So the kids really see this whole vibe of somebody showing up in a cool Cadillac and Santa gets out and he really cares and he's there giving them their dream gifts, you know. And as it's come together more and more, and we've seen more success as a production company and we have more people involved, we actually started a nonprofit now. And before it was just me with a trunk full of toys. Now we're a legitimate nonprofit, and we're looking at the bigger picture of how to take this into the future. So it's something that, I mean, hopefully long after I'm gone, my children are still running this and taking care of families in need. And we're moving beyond just presents now. We're giving the whole Christmas experience, the dinner, the Christmas tree, the presents, everything. And we're taking it this year, particularly as the first year we're going into Thanksgiving. Now we're donating quantities of turkeys and food to shelters and homes. I mean, we're really trying to stretch this thing and make it about the whole holiday season. And who knows where it gets to? I mean, maybe we're doing Easter, you know, in a decade from now. Like, who knows what this thing's going to turn into? But, you know, I want these families and these children especially to feel special at the holidays. And anything we can do to help that is just putting good energy out into the world. And anybody can do it. I mean, it could start so simple, and you can grow a passion project of something that you want to take care of. And as you form into a nonprofit, I mean, the process was fairly simple. Your office helped us get things organized. I mean, it was really a really smooth transition into it. Yeah, it was, I mean, it's much easier than you would think. And again, all these things, you just got to commit to it and you can do it. I mean, it's out there. It's not as scary as most people seem to think it will be. You can do anything. You can change the world if you put your mind to it.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So I'm going to just kind of tail off on that. When businesses are out there and a lot of times people are doing something that's really good for society, but they get zero benefit. So the best example I can give you is right now what we're seeing with the way the tax laws are is about 90% of people are using the standard deduction, or it's going to be between 80 and 90, which means they're 80% of the people who give money are getting zero benefit for giving the money. Like, they would have to exceed their standard deduction before they get a dollar of benefit. So you're giving money to charity and you're really not getting any benefit. When you're in the business, and you're doing things for other folks where you're using, like, again, you went out and bought a bunch of toys and things. If you do that as an individual, you're not going to get any benefit. That's just a gift. There's no tax benefit to you. If you give the money to your own charity and the charity goes out and does these things, then you do get a tax benefit. You get the amount that you contribute. And that clicks with people after they've been doing it long enough. And I've seen this over the years. Somebody will go out and they'll be doing something and they have the right heart and the system is somewhat punishing them and holding them back. I had a fantastic gal, we just did a podcast with Meg Boozing, who was literally, you know, scraping by in her world, trying to give back because she suffered from a traumatic head injury. And to watch her explode and become very successful with what she's doing, which is a business, it's just it happens to be a nonprofit business, was really rewarding. And I hope the same is true with you. I have no doubt that it will be. that you're using Big Fin Production. And as it grows bigger, it's like you always see this. You see large Ronald McDonald House. You have the for-profit entity. And what is it doing? It's channeling some of its revenue in a tax-advantaged way to help society out. And frankly, that's, you know, it's way better.
It's a win-win.
Yeah, it is a win-win. That's pretty cool. When you were talking about the Easter thing, all I could think about is somebody saying, hey, the Easter Bunny stole Santa's.
They share it.
No, I was like, what happened to the Santa's? That Santa's car. You give it back to him right now. No,
that's funny.
twisted thinking. Hey, to kind of finish off, I want to hear a little bit about your favorite shows. I'm like, it's not just me, but I'm sure anybody listening to this is going to say, all right, you did some Paul McCartney, the Pope, George Clinton. Like, you were with some pretty cool acts. What are your favorites? Like, if you had to
like you said, we've done a lot of good ones, but my go-to, because I do get this question, you know, fairly frequently. So we had worked with McCartney. You know, I was always a fan. This is a good story. So when I was 17 years old, I slept out for McCartney tickets at JFK Stadium. Okay. I slept out for two
millennials
weeks.
Don't understand this. We had to wait in line for tickets back in the day.
We did. But bottom line, at the end of the show, I jumped on stage with McCartney. Okay. At 17 years old. All right. And then I got thrown out. It was the end. It was the whole thing. But years later, I get a call to do a McCartney show at Carnegie Hall. It was my first like interaction there with him. And, we did the show. It went well. I kind of, you know, my life was complete at that point. I couldn't believe I got a check for it. I mean, it was an amazing time. So soon after, his production company called and said, you know, hey, we're doing a private event, or he's doing a surprise show at the Highline Ballroom, which is a very small venue, maybe 600,000 people. It's more like a bar. And I did that show. And this is the highlight moment there is we're in this tiny club and you have Paul McCartney on stage with this young band and they're ripping through all these early Beatles songs, Sawyer standing there. I mean, all these amazing songs. But when he went into Hey Jude and he's singing Hey Jude and you have this whole club singing Hey Jude with the guy that wrote the song, like it made the hair stand up on the back of your neck. I mean, that was a moment where I looked around to a lot of these hardcore road guys. They were all standing there feeling the same thing. I mean, it was very impactful. That was definitely the highlight of experience that I've had at a live show. That was a good one.
That's pretty intense. I can only imagine. I hope you have some selfies with him.
No selfies, but I got some good autographs to Finn. I mean, that's good stuff in the office. And he's on tour right now. So I think he's coming to Vegas, actually, in June. You got it, buddy. It's always a pleasure, Toby. You guys take care. It's amazing.
I would pick him up. It was funny. This is completely aside, but I just went and saw Gordon Lightfoot with one of my partners. He was
love him.
The guy is 80 years old. He's up there. You know that you're seeing something that may not be around much when people are screaming out, "You can do it, Gordon. You can do it." I'm like, all right, this guy is really working it. Anyway, that's pretty cool. I'm just a lawyer, so all this stuff, all the production that you guys do, it's absolutely mind-boggling. Well,
thanks, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So I just I look at little things like you go to the Golden Knights when they went to the Stanley Cup Game One, and they do this huge production thing where the stuff's coming out of the ceiling.
Oh yeah.
All that is just amazing. You know, all the stuff that production companies are able to do. It's just,
it brings the people into the experience. It's important, you know, just above and beyond watching the show, the production value really pulls the people in and gives them a little surprise. It's nice.
Absolutely. So, all right. So I'm going to end on one question. And that is, if you could go back in time, what would you tell little Mike Finn? Advice would you give him going forward?
First thing comes to mind, always follow your gut. You know, you hear that a lot from people, but I don't think there's a truer statement. Like, you know what's right or wrong. You know, you might be nervous about something, but if you feel like it's good, go for it, you know, and just continue on that path. I mean, that's what I would tell myself. I mean, I stuck to it pretty good, but, you know, there's always times where you had your doubts. You can make anything happen, you know, and that's what I would tell young Mike Finn.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us. I'm just going to say Mike Finn, Big Finn Productions. Check him out online. Amazing company, amazing story. Love hearing it. Support Santa's Roadies.
Got it. We're going to do actually a charity event coming up here in the fall. So I'll make sure you guys know when that's happening.
Absolutely.
A fundraiser. But yeah.
Do you have a web presence for Santa's Roadies?
We're in the process. Like we were saying, we just kind of started the nonprofit end and made it an official entity of my, you know, my people. So we're working on all that presence, and that will definitely be out by that time. And also, there's always Big Fin Vegas and Big Fin Productions online. We'll always have reference and let you know what's going on with that world.
Perfect. Well, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.